Hello and welcome to Talking Tudors, a fortnightly podcast about the ever-fascinating Tudor dynasty. My name is Natalie Gruniger and I'll be your host and guide on this journey through 16th century England. Are you ready to step through the veil of time into the dazzling and dangerous world of the Tudor court? Without further ado, it's time to talk Tudors. Everyone, welcome back to Talking Tudors, episode 46. I'm your host, Natalie Gruniger. Before we jump into this week's episode, I'd like to thank the wonderful patrons who continue to support this podcast. I'm so grateful for your encouragement and generosity. You can find a full list of patrons on my website under the Patrons tab. If you love Talking Tudors and would like to show your appreciation and support the work I do, just click on the Be My Patron on Podbean badge on the homepage of my website, www.onthetudortrail.com, or click on the Be a Patron button on the Podbean app. Join the Talking Tudors patron family and you'll be automatically entered into our patron-only monthly giveaways. September's prize is a digital download of the album Elizabeth by Carlene, inspired by the life of Elizabeth I. I'll play you a song from this wonderful album shortly. Now, on to today's episode. I'm thrilled that joining me on the show to talk about the recent excavations at Sudeley Castle is Maya Pinyadesia from Dig Ventures. Maya is an archaeologist and head of community at Dig Ventures, social enterprise that organises crowd-funded archaeological excavation experiences. Back in March, I talked to Lisa Westcott-Wilkins, co-founder and managing director at Dig Ventures, and Stephen Terode, head gardener at Sudeley Castle, about some wonderful discoveries that the team had made at Sudeley. Maya is back to update us on the recent dig and exciting finds. My conversation with Maya straight after this musical break, courtesy of singer-songwriter Carlene. The song Armada is from Carlene's album entitled Elizabeth.
I'm ready, I'll stand as I fall for England, for England.
Welcome to Talking Tudors. Maya, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. I thought we could begin by you just introducing yourself to our listeners and telling them a little bit about your background.
Sure. So my name is Maya and I'm an archaeologist at Dig Ventures. We run archaeological excavations that anyone in the world can join in with. You can come and dig with us on site and help us uncover the past, or you can watch us doing it online from wherever you are in the world.
That sounds like a lot of fun, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how people can get involved a little later. But so what sparked your interest in archaeology?
Oh, well, it probably started when I was about 5 years old and I was playing in the garden and found a skeleton buried right there in my very own garden. Turns out that actually the garden was built on a 15th century burial ground. And I can just remember that moment being absolutely fascinated by this person. Who was it? Why were they buried in my garden? What was the story behind all of this? And I think over the years, you know, I loved history. I found it fascinating. But what I realized I loved about archaeology is its power to uncover stories that were never written down and to be able to rebuild a picture of the past hands-on. It's very exciting to me.
That's so exciting. So not a skeleton in your closet, but a skeleton in your garden. I love it. What a great story.
Exactly.
Now, you recently took part in an excavation at the beautiful Sudley Castle, which I absolutely love, where Catherine Parr lived for the last few months of her life with her husband, Thomas Seymour. And you made some really exciting discoveries there. So I thought we could start by you telling us a little bit about the lost Tudor garden and what you actually found.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all have this idea of Tudor gardens in our mind. They're this beautiful and extravagant and complex and geometrically designed, full of plants and statues and... But it's actually very, very rare to find one that's intact, you know, like an original Tudor garden that survives. So many of them were remodeled or destroyed in the 18th and 19th centuries. But we were invited to Sudley Castle because the head gardener there suspected that this empty field at the back of the garden actually may have had something in it. And we started excavating in the summer, and sure enough, what we found was something really quite remarkable. So it all started when we found what we now think is the original centerpiece of this long-lost Tudor garden, and it's absolutely massive. It's really this central circular platform surrounded by a big circular ditch and then an even bigger circular bank around it. So if you can imagine it, it's basically a big circular ditch with an island in the middle of it. And we think this would have formed the actual centrepiece of this whole long-lost Tudor garden. What we think is really even more exciting about that is part of it seems to be lined with clay. So it's quite possible that this circular ditch with the island in the middle of it would have actually have been built to hold water. So if you can just imagine it, picture it in your mind, this kind of circular ring of water with something in the middle. We don't know exactly what was in the middle on the island. It could have been maybe a fountain or statue, or even possibly some people have suggested that it might have actually been a performance space. There's a parallel for this at Kenilworth. And you can just imagine visitors to the garden perhaps sitting around this central water feature and there being some players acting out something in the middle. It would have been quite spectacular, I think.
That sounds amazing. I can just picture that. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. And it was just absolutely amazing to start peeling back the layers and get a first glimpse of what this garden would have looked like, you know, 400 years ago. We know that Catherine Parr lived at Sudley Castle and that she had a walkway from her apartments to her chapel where she's now buried. And it's totally possible to imagine her walking through the gardens at Sudley Castle too.
Absolutely. There's such a sense of timelessness there, I think, like especially when it's getting late in the afternoon. I feel that you can really, those personalities just come to life there. It's so beautiful.
Yes, gorgeous. And if you know Sudley Castle, that you'll know that it has this gorgeous Queen's Garden. It's full of roses and has a little fountain in the middle. But the part of the garden that we've been excavating is at least four times the size of that. So if you can imagine, you know, the most beautiful garden that's there at Sudley Castle now, well, 400 years ago, there would have been something four times the size.
Wow, that's extraordinary. So do you have a sort of good idea now of what the garden would have looked like? You know, the fountain and the centerpiece. Was there anything else that you've uncovered there?
We've got now is the big picture view of what it would have looked like. So we can see that there was a centerpiece, that it had this huge border so that we can see the full extent of the garden, just how big it was. We know it would probably have been divided into four quadrants. Each again would have been divided into four more quadrants to make a really nice sort of place for walking through and, you know, being very atmospheric. But now what we need to do next is really start filling in the details. So we've done 2 weeks of excavation already and got that big picture view. But if we were to come back and do more excavation, we'd be able to start finding out answers to some of the more detailed questions, like what were the borders like? Where were the other features? Where were the statues? Maybe could we even find out which plants were there? Where did the paths go exactly? What were they made of? And perhaps most importantly, when exactly was it built and how long was it in use for?
Yeah, fantastic. I'd love to know the answer to all those questions, actually.
Yeah,
that would be great. All right, so during the dig, you were also looking for conclusive evidence of Elizabeth I's long-lost banqueting house. So can you talk to us about what the team uncovered in regards to this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've just mentioned the centrepiece and the fact that we had the borders for the whole garden. Well, in either corner where those are, there are these two raised mounds, which according to a classic Tudor layout is exactly where you would put a banqueting house. We know that in 1592, Elizabeth I was invited to Sudley Castle for a huge banquet on the eve of the fourth anniversary of her victory over the Spanish Armada. And we think that one of these mounds is where the banqueting house that she actually celebrated in was placed. So during our excavation there this summer, we opened up a trench over one of these mounds, and inside we were really surprised by exactly how much we found. So we'd been under the impression that this banqueting house would have been quite a temporary structure, you know, maybe it would have just been wooden upright poles with canvas over it, but actually what we found was this stonking great stone wall. And that stone wall seemed to be made of quite intricately carved masonry. It seemed like there was part of the masonry included a projecting window and even sort of ball flower designs. So we think it would have looked really quite impressive, and that this temporary structure for the banquet actually was more permanent than we originally thought. The other really interesting question it's raised is, were these decorated pieces of masonry made especially for this banqueting house, or were they reused from an earlier building? The ball flowers and the projecting windows that we found, the designs are really, really similar to some of the pieces that survive from the destroyed Winchcombe Abbey. So we have this question about whether her banqueting house may have reused some of those stones.
Mm, that's really fascinating. So it's not something that they could have packed up and taken with them on progress or anything like that?
Well, I mean, it's possible, yeah. It could have been that just the bottom half of the wall was stone, right, and that from there above, and there was wooden timbers with canvas that was painted to look like more stone. We know that's something that happened. But yeah, it seems to have been a more impressive construction than we originally thought. And we can see that the third Lord Chandos, who invited her there to try and impress her, you know, was putting even more effort into doing it than we originally thought.
Amazing how much money these people spent on impressing their monarchs. It's mind-blowing, really, isn't it? All right, so I'd love to hear more about some of the specific artifacts that you uncovered over the course of the dig at Sudley.
Really, it was in the area where we think the banqueting house found the most artifacts. So apart from the ball flowers and the masonry, we actually found some very early medieval pottery, which suggests there might have been something there even before that. There had been rumours of a medieval manor house, so that would fit in with that. But from the Tudor period, we also found plenty of pieces of cooking pot, so maybe vessels that were used for cooking but could also be brought to the table for serving. We also found quite a surprising number of pig bones. Whether or not that reflects what they were eating at the banquet or at a banquet at around that time, we're not sure yet. We still need to get those pieces analysed, but it certainly seems possible.
Wow, okay. So once these items come up, once they're lifted out of the ground, what actually happens to them after that?
Well, we always have a finds team on site, and they sort of provide a sort of first aid. They're a bit like paramedics. They're the first to the scene, and they make sure that any artifacts that come out of the ground are made clean, that they're dry and they're stable, and they won't deteriorate any further while they're on site. But perhaps the most important thing that they do is they make sure all of the finds are labelled with the exact layer and location that they were found from on the excavation. They'll then try to identify the artifacts so that we can then give it a rough date. And that will help us inform our excavation, so we'll know that a particular area perhaps was dating to around a particular time based on an artifact that we found. At the end of the dig, we'll then send all of the artifacts and discoveries off to specialists who can then provide us with a lot more detail. Those artifacts will then either come back to us or go on display wherever it was found, But either way, we'll always put those items on display in our online database that you can see online. It's kind of like the excavation is the data collection part of a project. And then the next step is the data analysis and presentation phase, which is where we're at now.
Fantastic. And is there ever a point where you might find something but leave it in situ or leave it in place?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You always have to make a decision about what's best for the archaeology. You know, being buried is a really good way of preserving things. It's kept the garden intact for 400 years. So potentially if we found something on the last day of the excavation that we thought, oh, well, you know, it would be much better if we had a full week to excavate this, we'll leave it, we'll cover it back up and then perhaps come back the next year when we're fully mobilised and prepared to excavate it carefully.
Right, it would be wonderful with the garden to have some illustrations done, wouldn't it? Just to, like, for those reconstructions to imagine what it would have looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could have a go if you like.
Oh, I'd love it. That would be so good. Yeah, I'm picturing it in my mind, but it's always, I love those reconstructions when people do them of the, you know, houses or manor houses. So great. Now, I know you're doing lots of exciting things with Dig Ventures at the moment. Can you tell us about some of the other projects you're currently working on?
Sure. Well, I mean, I know you're all interested in Tudor history, but if you like history, there are many other things that can be of interest as well. So we've just come back from excavating what we think is a Roman villa in East Yorkshire. And now I've just got back from that. I need to do all of my washing because tomorrow we're heading off to Northumberland to excavate on Lindisfarne, which was an Anglo-Saxon site and one of the first communities in the UK to be attacked by Vikings. So quite an exciting couple of weeks ahead.
That does sound exciting. So how many of these do you do in the year?
We're doing about 8 different excavations a year at the moment, each one focusing on a different time period and in a different location. So whatever the extent of your interest in history, there's always going to be something for you.
Yeah, and I imagine that some of our listeners out there, you know, would love to try their hand at archaeology. I know I would, definitely. So you mentioned earlier some of the ways people can get involved. Can you just go into that a little bit more? How can members of the public join you on one of these digs?
Yeah, so we crowdfund most of our digs, and all you have to do is come to our website, have a look at the projects that we're crowdfunding, pick one that interests you, join in, and we'll invite you to come and spend a day digging with us or joining us in the finds room or watching online. The choice will be yours.
That sounds fantastic. And the online element is so good because obviously, you know, there are people from all over the world that love this stuff. And so it's so good to be able to access it from home, anywhere in the world. So Maya, in 2018, Dig Ventures hosted a Dig Nation Festival from Lindisfarne. Could you tell us all about your very exciting plans for next year's Tudor-themed festival?
Oh, I can't wait to spill the beans about this. I've been so excited about telling you all about this. So Dig Nation was a history and archaeology festival that we crowdfunded in honour of Mick Aston, who is one of the archaeologists on Time Team who seems to be responsible for inspiring at least 85% of people who love history and archaeology. That was an Anglo-Saxon themed festival. This year, we're taking on a different theme, and I can break the news. It's going to be Tudor. Going to be taking place at Sudeley Castle, and it's going to be taking place on the 500th anniversary of the Field of the Cloth of Gold, which was this huge summit that Henry VIII and Francis I of France had together. The description, the Field of the Cloth of Gold, is because there were so many banqueting tents that were made of cloths of gold that it, you know, this field would have looked quite spectacular. I mean, as well as talking politics, there was music and feasting and all the usual things that the Tudors did. To celebrate that event, we are going to be hosting our own Tudor-themed festival at Sudeley Castle, and over the weekend it's going to be jam-packed with talks, with fringe events, with food and music, and it's all going to be taking place around our excavation, where you'll be able to see the archaeology being unearthed before your eyes, or even jump into the trenches to try and help the team and make your own discovery as well. So it's a real date for the diary, and festival tickets will go on sale around Christmas time. So if you're interested and you love a bit of Tudor history and you want to get involved in archaeology and hear more about discoveries from some of the best speakers on the subject at the moment, then yeah, come and join us.
And it's good timing because a few people were actually asking me online if there were any events planned for the 500th anniversary, so now I can definitely say yes. That's great.
I don't know if we'll have two gold leaf covered monkeys though, like Henry VIII did, but we'll do our best.
Oh, you can always try. That would be really good. And so information sort of online will be released around Christmas time, did you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll make sure you're the first to know.
Yay. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. It was great because I spoke to your colleague, Lisa, and the head gardener at Sudley earlier this year. So it was so, you know, and people can go and listen to that episode as well. This was before you'd started the excavations at Sudley. So it's been really nice to have a sort of wrap up and an update on all the exciting things that you found. So that was great. Thank you so much, Maya.
You're absolutely welcome.
That was really lovely. And so I can't let you go yet. Sorry. We always end the episode by playing what I call a little game of 10 to go. So they're just 10 fun questions just to get to know you a little bit better. So are you ready?
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this part of the show. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the fun part. Exactly. So name two items that are on your bucket list.
That's a really good question. I would love to walk along Hadrian's Wall, and I would love to go to Mexico.
Fabulous. What was a favorite childhood book?
Oh, Meanwhile Back at the Ranch, one of my favorite children's books. It's a story about an American farmer who goes off into town for the day to do a little bit of paperwork. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, while his wife is there looking after the place, all sorts of exciting things happen.
Great. I've never heard of that, so I've noted that down. I'm going to look it up. What was the last film that you watched?
Oh, no. Don't ask me that. It was Midsummer, and it was terrifying. If you don't like scary films, don't see it. It was about what happens when a couple of anthropology students are invited to a summer solstice festival in Sweden. And I'll leave it there.
I used to like scary movies, but the older I get, I can't watch them anymore. It's terrible. Like, I just get too scared. And that sounds scary already.
Yeah, it was quite scary. I wasn't quite prepared. I thought it was going to be a lovely film about, you know, pagan festivals, but no.
All right, there we go. What is an ideal Saturday night for you?
Good food, good music, good company.
I imagine you read lots of books. What's one book that's currently on your to-be-read list?
I have just picked up and just finished reading the introduction to a book called A History of Jewish Radicalism, and it's absolutely fascinating.
A favourite holiday destination?
Oh, there's so many. I love going to the south of Spain, to Andalusia, but I also love going to Scotland. I think it's just a very beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, and they're quite different, those two places, but you're right, they're absolutely stunning. So have you visited the Alhambra Palace?
I have. That is absolutely the most gorgeous building, apart from Sudley Castle, of course. The Alhambra, and again, it's the gardens. It's really the gardens that bring the place to life. They're so beautiful, and you can literally spend the entire day walking through them.
I know, I did, and it was so good. That really, I felt that visiting there and having visited Ludlow Castle, where Catherine of Aragon went after she married Prince Arthur, and having visited the Alhambra, where she spent the last couple of years of her Spanish life, you can just see what a difficult transition that must have been from the warmth and the, you know, the fountains and the gardens to Ludlow, which I love, but is completely different.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, at Sudley Castle, one of the smaller gardens to the side is that sort of Moorish Islamic design, just like at the Alhambra. It's very, you can see the similarities and how, you know, these ideas about what makes a beautiful royal garden were actually shared throughout Europe and the Iberian Peninsula and Italy. It's fascinating.
Maya, what's your go-to comfort food?
Pasta. Nice big bowl of pasta with lots of sauce and lots of cheese.
Are you superstitious at all?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think I could be an archaeologist if I was.
Yeah, that's true. What's a great piece of advice that you've received at some point in your life that you're willing to share?
Oh, that is a good question. Everything in moderation, including moderation. Sometimes just go for it. Go a little bit overboard, but just sometimes, you know, not all the time.
Yeah, that's right. All right, lucky last question. I have to ask you the time travel question because I love hearing people's responses. So if you could travel back to witness one event in history, what would it be?
I would be so fascinated, as well as to see what happened at Elizabeth I's party at Sudley Castle. Obviously, I'm interested in seeing that. But also, I would just love to witness the meeting between a modern human and a Neanderthal. We know it happened, but we have no idea what those interactions were like. So I think I'd have to go back and see something like that. One of those unwritten pieces of history that there's no other way of finding out apart from with time travel. Right, yeah, bring
gonna,
it on.
Yeah, we're going to have to invent it, I think, that's for sure. Now, I said that was the last question, but there is actually one more thing we do before we end, and that's I ask all my guests for a Tudor takeaway. So that's just something that our listeners can go off and explore after the episode. Might be a song to listen to, a movie to watch, a book to read. Do you have a Tudor takeaway for us?
Am I allowed to have two? Please, yes, can I have two?
Of course. Okay. I love when people say that.
So the first one obviously has to be digventures.com/Sudeley-castle. And that's where you can see everything that we found. So everything that we've spoken about today, you can see pictures of, and you can even see videos about them as well. So if you want to learn more about the excavation and what we discovered at Sudeley Castle, that's the place to go. But apart from that, I also absolutely loved Miranda Kaufman's book, Black Tudors. I thought it was a really fantastic piece of research, and she does this lovely job of excavating the personal stories of people of African descent who were living in England in the 16th century. They were doing all sorts of fascinating jobs that I really never knew about, like being a marine salvage diver, silk weaver, sailor, and I think famously there was John Blank the trumpeter, who again was playing at the Field of the Cloth of Gold for Henry VIII. So I think it's a wonderful book and really fascinating, and everyone interested in Tudor history should read it.
Yeah, I love both your takeaways. So I'm going to add a link to that link that you just mentioned for all our listeners to the show notes so they can find it really easily. And I also recommend that everyone follow your Twitter page, which is, I love it. I follow it, and it, you know, you're always posting great pictures of the artifacts you're finding, so that everyone has to do that as well. And with Miranda, Miranda Kaufman, I chatted with her, I think it was a couple of months ago now, and she's wonderful. So Maya, if you haven't listened to that episode, you might like to listen to my conversation with Miranda as well.
I absolutely will. I think she's fantastic, and the history she tells is really, really fascinating. I'm not going to tell work. I'm just going to go and, you know, take an extended coffee break and listen to it right now.
That sounds great. I love how you think. Well, it's been so lovely talking to you, Maya. Thank you so much for joining me on Talking Tudors, and I can't wait to hear more about your Sudeley adventures in the future. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and hope to see you next year in June.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Talking Tudors. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any comments or suggestions, or just want to say hi, please get in touch with me via my website, www.onthetudortrail.com, where you will also find show notes for today's episode. If you've enjoyed the show, please share the podcast with friends and family, and click on the all-important follow button so you'll never miss an episode. I also invite you to join our Talking Tudors podcast group on Facebook, where you can interact with other Tudor history lovers and hear all the behind-the-scenes news. It's time now for us to re-enter the modern world. As always, I look forward to talking Tudors with you again very soon.